Okay, this morning's reading will be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through to chapter 5, verse 18. And in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1256. So here we go, 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefiting those may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all your bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Chapter 5. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be even a hint of sexual immorality or any form or kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as man, is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are in the light, in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful to mention that what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord will, what the Lord's will is, and do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Was that it? Yeah. Let's just talk to our Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to be able to come together and worship with you. Lord, thank you for these very dear people have come collectively to worship in your name. Father, we thank you for, as I've already said, for our Bible study on Tuesday night and the men's fellowship in particular. But Lord, we thank you for your word that you've just read from. Lord, may this passage be really ingrained in our minds and in our souls. And Father, please be with Pastor Joseph as he brings us the message this morning. Lord, look at our hearts, examine our hearts, and make them fit for acceptance to you, we pray. We ask these things in your very precious name, dear Lord. Amen.
Thank you. I don't know how many of you would be able to handle questions that pertain God, deity, or the Godhead, if you wish. Well, I don't know how many of you have heard people comment about God and try to explain God, analyze God, dissect God, if you wish. And then they will tell you exactly who God is and where he is and how the Trinity or the triune God is who he is. And then you'll have denominations and groups of people who will say, well, I I'm Unitarian, and others will say I'm Trinitarian. And then you have churches who, or at least some groups that will say, we are Jesus-only people. And others will say, we only believe in the Father. And then you are asked to explain God. And to be honest with you, no matter how many books you read, and no matter how many sermons you listen, and how many philosophers or theologians you listen to, you will never ever be able to dissect God, take Him apart and put Him back together, because He is God and you are only His creation. And I've said this before and I'll say it again, that if I could analyze God, either I would be God and analyze another God, or God will be another human being so I can analyze it. And God forbid for anyone to claim that he can analyze God and explain God. And then, of course, you have others who will make light of the Godhead or the triune God. And I remember once, someone said to me, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, you know, I have Christ in my heart. I was born again believer, and I'm sure I have the assurance of my salvation, and God is in my heart. The God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that may be confusing to some. Then you have the Jehovah's Witnesses who will say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God, but Jesus is not God. And there you go again, confusing statements. And people have to pick and choose what to accept and what to believe. But we know that God is our Creator, for sure. And God is the one who sustains us, for sure. And we know that because we believe in the Bible is the Word of God, the breath of God, Aswaza Shunj, or in Greek, Yera Grammata, which means the holy letters or writings. And if we believe in the Bible, then we have to start from the beginning and see who God is, and we see there that when God speaks and when God is described in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, we see Him as we hear the Bible or read in the Bible that He is in the plural. As a matter of fact, it's not only the Christian Bible that God has God in plural, but even if you read the Quran, it's in plural. It refers to God and God, and we said, let us create man or do this or that. And if that is so, and if the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims refer to God in the plural, address God in the plural, or at least, then why is that? That's because we cannot understand God's plurality, meaning that God is one in three. And this morning I thought it would be a great idea, or good idea at least, to speak of or to look at the Holy Spirit. The Spirit. Spirit in Greek is pneuma. Now, if you're Canadian and English or American and you studied Greek in the university or in theology schools, you will know what the word pneuma is. Because in English, when they teach the word pneuma, they say pneuma. It took me many, many years to understand, to come to realize that when I listened to sermons Sunday mornings or whenever, and when the pastor said pneuma, he meant the Holy Spirit, pneuma. So, Spirit, pneuma, and in Latin is spiritus, which is spirit, means, and if you look in the dictionary or try to see what the word spirit is, you'll see that it's the breath or life of man, a ghost, a state of mind, alcohol, spirit being, or power. For example, we refer to the satanic powers sometimes as evil spirits. In Ephesians 5:18, we read, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, it obviously does not mean to be filled with alcohol or evil spirits. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is the only living God, our Creator and Sustainer. When someone gives complete control of himself or herself to God, he or she is filled with the Spirit. In other words, God comes into the believer's heart and life. The Holy Spirit is another person of the Godhead, but not a different being. If we think of the Holy Spirit only as an impersonal power or influence, then our thought will always be, how can I get hold of and use the Holy Spirit? But if we think of Him in the biblical way as a divine person, then our thought will constantly be, how can the Holy Spirit can get hold of me and use me? What I'm trying to say here with this statement is that if I were to believe, and if you were to believe that the Holy Spirit is a power, that the Holy Spirit is some kind of a strength, that the Holy Spirit is some kind of an influence, impersonal influence, and unfortunately sometimes you'll hear people refer to the Holy Spirit as it. It gives me joy, they say, or I can feel the Holy Spirit in this room. It gives me joy. The Holy Spirit is not air, is not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal power that you get some of it sometimes and then you lose some of it in other occasions. And or when you get very happy, when they start singing and the choir is powerful and you start repeating the mantra of a couple of words, you get very spiritually high and you start jumping up and down and you say, "Wow, it came upon me. I am now being filled with the Holy Spirit." Well, if that is the belief, then your thought, then you would run after some kind of an experience like that. Then you'll beg God to give you that experience. Then you'll try and your entire life will be trying to reach to a place where you can feel that. But if, as the Bible says, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is a person, then your aim will be to have the Holy Spirit get hold of you and strengthen you and fill you with His presence and direct you. There are two different things here. One being running after some kind of an experience and call it the Holy Spirit, and the other one is allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to come and get hold of you and help you in life and strengthen you and convict you. What happens when one is filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, to know what happens is to know that we must be ready to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in the born-again Christian and empowers him for holiness, worship, and service. Life in all areas is affected when the Holy Spirit comes. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in his or her life. In Galatians 5:22-23, again we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So you see, the fruit of the Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, is the following. It's not feeling good, because if music gives you that feeling, then the giver is the music. If a great sermon gives you that feeling, then that sermon is the giver. But we know that the giver is God Himself. Again, the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit-filled believer is or becomes bold in sharing the good news with others. In Acts 3:1 we read, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The question how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to the question, the answer is through the new birth. Now again, the new birth is not something that was invented by someone in Europe or some Protestant or some Pentecostal or some Baptist or some great preacher. The new birth is the only way. And Jesus made it very clear, made that very clear when this educated religious person came at night because he was scared or afraid of his compatriots, if you wish, or his colleagues, that he will be accused of working against the temple. He went at night to Jesus and asked him a question. How can I inherit eternal life? I'm paraphrasing that. And Jesus very clearly told him that he has to be born again. And if we are Christians, if we are the followers of Christ, and if we call ourselves whatever Christians, saved Christians, born again Christians, believers, then we must understand who can be called a Christian. A Christian is the one who follows Christ, is the one who is following Christ and has invited Christ in his heart, and his life has been changed completely through the new birth. And then when God comes into our life, when Christ comes into my life, it's not that I first receive God a little bit and then I receive Christ, I'm born again, and then a little later on, a few weeks later or whenever, I am born again, once again through the Holy Spirit, or I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have God in installments. God either comes into your life and lives into your life, or He doesn't. Once a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, he or she must not grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And in Ephesians 4:30 we read, you must not grieve the Holy Spirit. God can be grieved. Grief is heavy sorrow, pain, cause of sorrow. In Genesis 6:6 we read, the Lord was grieved that He had made man on the earth, and His heart was filled with pain. These are human terms used for God, just to indicate that our actions or inaction grieves the Holy Spirit, grieves God. David wrote that God was grieved with the Israelites in the desert. In Psalm 95:10 we read, for 40 years I was angry, and this is in the desert when they disobeyed God. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be familiar with sorrow and suffering in Isaiah 53:3. Christians may grieve God, break His heart, that is. The Bible tells us what grieves the heart of God is, and in Ephesians 4:31 we read, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. There are some things you cannot be if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is very important for us to understand. I cannot claim to be a born-again believer. I cannot claim to be a saved person. I cannot claim to be a Christian, a true Christian, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet, you cannot be that. And yet, do some things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. You cannot be filled with bitterness and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be filled with anger and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be filled with hatred and filled with the Spirit. You must confess these sins and get rid of them. Now, these are only a few examples. There are those who say that I'm born again, I'm a Christian, and they live lives as if they've never met Christ. They have one foot here and the other foot there. And the Bible says, as Joshua said, you got to make up your minds whom you should follow. But I and my family, I will follow the Lord. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. You must stop putting out the Spirit's fire. When you stifle, block, or suppress God's work, you put out the Spirit. When you put out the Holy Spirit's fire, you stop God's work in your heart. To put out the Holy Spirit's fire is to resist God. To put out the Spirit's fire is to put your will above the will of God. To put out the Spirit's fire is to tune God out and tune into another channel, just as you do with your remote control at home. Tuning into channels of worry. There is a channel of worry, and every time you want to feel miserable, you can tune to that channel. And you start worrying about things. I'm speaking from experience. And you probably know that channel. You are familiar with the channel of worrying and being concerned about things. Tuning into the channel of fear. I don't know whether you are afraid of something or not. But there is such a thing as being consumed by fear. Tuning into the channel of entertainment. Now, that is very difficult to find. Entertainment gives pleasure to the flesh, to the ears, to the eyes, to the thought. So why should I not entertain myself? As a matter of fact, even churches have started entertaining people. There are churches these days that will provide all kinds of activities in the church to entertain. So you feel good. But that channel will keep you so preoccupied with entertaining yourself that you will not even look up to God, and you will forget about your spiritual hunger and thirst. Tuning into the channel of business and education. Some people are consumed with a desire to study and learn and learn and learn, professional students. And then there are others who waste their life completely for business activities and progress. Tuning into the channel of greed, or whichever other channel you want to tune into, yet nothing can satisfy you, and you keep switching channels. That reminds me. And sometimes my wife would be sitting there and I would be going from one channel to the other, to the other, to the other. Nothing satisfying me. I'm just looking for something that will give me... Vasquez, you don't do that, right? Not anymore. There you go. He overcame that temptation, you see. He switched to another channel now. So, entertainment and satisfying the flesh. We keep switching from one to the other channel. But when you stop putting out or tuning out the Spirit's fire, wonderful things will happen. That is, when you stop putting out the fire, you will have peace and joy. You will experience God at work in your life. You will bring joy not only to God, but to those around you. If you desire to please God and not put out the Spirit's fire, then you must live by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16 we read, "Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." We must start living in the Spirit. We must start living in the Spirit as a family, as a church, as individuals. We must allow God, the Holy Spirit, who is in us, to control our life. When Jesus said, "When I go, I will not leave you orphans, but I will send the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, your helper, your mediator, if you wish, and also to convict you of sin." Now, it's very clear in the Bible that Jesus is not God the Father. God the Father is not God the Son. And it's very clear in the Bible that God the Holy Spirit is not Jesus, and Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. You say you're confusing me again. But you see, it's very clear that when Jesus said, "I will send the Holy Spirit," he did not say, "I'll change into a Holy Spirit." He did not say that "I'll become your conscience," but he said, "I will send God the Holy Spirit." We cannot analyze God. We cannot explain God. But we know God's presence in our life. Let me just ask you, you know electricity, you know that when you plug your whatever, it's going to start working if you turn it on. But if I were to ask you to explain to me what electricity is, if you were to ask me what electricity is, and I've been doing this for all my life, I will only give you some ideas about what electricity is, but can you really analyze that power that comes to the socket in your house? But you accept it, you know it's powerful, you know it gives life and takes away life, it can be deadly or life-giving, and you know that when you stop or you remove the plug from that socket, life will be interrupted. And so if I cannot explain a very human activity in my family house or whatever, how would I ever be able to explain God and the Holy Spirit? I only know the results of His presence in my life. And I know that God created me because I can see creation. And I know that Jesus died on the cross because history has brought that piece of information, or history, if you wish, for 2,000 years has come to us. And I know that the Holy Spirit is present, because I know that He's in control of my life most of the time when I allow Him and I don't put out the fire. You will either live in the Spirit or away from Him. If you live in the Spirit, you will have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of the above can be yours and mine if you and I live in the Spirit. Meaning, if we allow the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to take hold of me, my will, and help me live my life the way He wants me to live. Does that mean that I become like a little puppet? Does it mean that He pulls the strings? No, He has given me a free will. And He will speak to me like I cannot control my daughters and my grandchildren. I can tell them what I want to tell them, and my daughters and grandchildren listen and say, "Yes, yes, Dad." Sometimes nothing changes. They do it anyways. But the Holy Spirit is like I am to my children. I tell them, they listen, they obey or disobey. The Holy Spirit talks to you. And you listen, hopefully, you either obey or disobey. But God, the Holy Spirit, is always there, convicting us, strengthening us, giving us joy, but also sadness when we put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. May all of us look in our life and in our hearts and see whether God is enthroned, whether the Holy Spirit is there, or we have put out the fire and we have said, just stay aside. I will control my life. May God give us that wisdom and clarity of mind. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for blessing us. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for not leaving us alone without your help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning. If I have said anything that was not in your will, and it was not according to your blessed word, please erase them from our hearts and minds. And Lord, whatever you said to each one of us, may we hear your voice, understand your will, and put into practice what you expect us to do. In your blessed name I pray, amen.